All right, good morning. So we are here this morning in our nice, toasty sanctuary, thanks to Pastor Steve Warden. So thank you, Pastor Steve. Your kindness is not unnoticed, and we prayed this morning for a blessing over you and your household for getting up unasked to set the thermostat so that it was ready, and we truly appreciate that. That is love in action. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So this morning, we're going to talk about patience. Now, patience is not a popular subject. Patience is probably the second most not popular subject next to tithing or giving. But patience is something we need. And that's part of a pastor's charge, is not to give you what you want to hear, but to give you what you need. It's giving you the proper feeding at the proper time. And the time demands this message. So we're going to talk about patience, and the title of today's message is The Elephant's Trunk. Now, you might go, well, where's that going? Patience is often associated with doing nothing. You tell somebody, just be patient. And the first thing that they think of is what? Waiting. Doing nothing. Passing idle time. Nothing happening. Well, when I mention an elephant to you, what's the first thing you think of? It's his trunk. You might be spraying water with it, might be picking something up with it, might be grabbing a peanut off of a counter with it. But you almost cannot think of an elephant without thinking about his trunk. But is that all there is to an elephant? Well, no. There's a lot more. And when you look at a photo of an elephant, you will see that while that trunk is prominent, because it's right in the smack middle of his face, there's a whole lot more to that elephant than just that trunk. Well, waiting is like the trunk of an elephant. It's the most prominent part. It's the thing that you think of first, but it's only part of it. And it's the part everyone remembers because much of the time, that's the part where things happen. We remember the trunk of an elephant because it's a prominent part, because it's where the elephant does a lot of things that distinguish it as an elephant. Well, waiting has a process to it. And there are reasons behind that waiting. But we're going to talk about the rest of the elephant, if you will, of patience today, and why that's important for us. Now, as I said, there's a lot more to an elephant than its trunk, and there's a lot more to patience than simply waiting. Well, patience is not just growing weary of doing good. That's what patience is. When you do good, and you're doing good, it's not getting tired of it. Patience is the extra mile that you shouldn't have to go. Pastor Steve gave an excellent unintended example this morning of patience, in that did he have to get up out of his routine and come over here and unlock the door and unset the alarm and come up and set the thermostat and check around? Did he have to spend 5 or 10 minutes here to do that out of his way? No, of course not. He didn't have to, but he chose to. That's in addition to the good that's in his routine today. And he didn't say, oh, forget that. I'm too tired. Oh, I've done so much this week. I'm not doing that. Nobody will care. No, it's going that extra mile that you don't need to, but you continue in. It's forgiving 70 times 7 times 8 times 79 times 80 times 81. That is patience. That's what we're talking about. So practically, trying to preach patience, trying to encourage patience, trying to share patience is difficult. Because oftentimes the thing that you need for patience is more of it. Just wait a little longer. Well, practically, to get more patience is don't quit. Don't quit. Or, as Dory likes to say from Finding Nemo, or Finding Dory, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. Just keep doing what you're doing. But don't quit. Because the time that you notice the need for patience the most is when you're tired and ready to quit. You want to stop. Nobody wants to quit resting. Nobody wants to quit sleeping. Nobody wants to quit snoozing. Nobody wants to quit doing nothing. You notice that you don't lack patience for those things, do you? Of course not. Why? Because you're not doing anything. You're in a state that is similar to waiting. That's easy. But when we get challenged in our patience, it is always because we are doing something that we are challenged to stop. Seriously, keep doing what you're doing and don't give up, because part of the struggle of patience is to stop doing. One more, another, to do things right. When you encounter resistance, you're either wrong or you're right. The difference is which side is opposing you. If you're playing football and you're running the ball, regardless of which way you're running, you're going to encounter resistance. If you're running the ball in the right direction, Pastor G will rejoice, a football analogy, hallelujah. If you're running the football in the right direction, the resistance you encounter is the opposing team. If you are running the football in the wrong direction towards your own end zone, you will still encounter resistance, except from your own team. So using that example, if you are getting resistance from the Lord, you might want to stop and check which way you're headed. But if your resistance that you're encountering from doing what you're doing is from worldliness, is from your flesh, is from Satan, is from sinful things, you might be carrying that ball towards the goal. And that's encouraged to keep going. Just keep going. There's an old saying, you can't get blood from a stone. You can't get blood from a turnip. The idea of that saying is that you can squeeze a turnip as hard as you want, but you can't get something that it doesn't have. In this case, blood or a stone. But there's a side to that, and that is that the only blood that you get from squeezing a stone or a turnip is your own. You can get blood from squeezing a turnip if you injure yourself. It's your blood. In other words, you're only going to hurt yourself by trying to do something, to try and get something that you can't redeem or get something out of. Patience is like that. Waiting is like that. There's no point in waiting for something if there's no reward. You won't wait. You won't persist. You won't continue. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Let me pause on that before I get to the key part of that scripture. What that's saying is when you sow something, you're planting, you're working the ground, you're preparing it, you're caring for it, you're shepherding the soil, you're tilling and making sure that it's productive. You're doing everything that you can to ensure results. And what we're being warned is that if what you're planting, if what you're working to, if the ground that you're laboring over is sinful, is evil, is carnal, you're gonna get a harvest of that. But if you're working towards the things of God, if you're laboring over selflessness, if you're laboring over righteousness, that which is right with God, if you are sowing into godly things, things that God says, "I approve of this," you will reap also. But here comes the encouragement. "And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Now, he tells us that because sowing and reaping good requires patience. Like I said, it doesn't require patience to lay down and sleep. It doesn't require patience to do nothing. But when it comes to the things that are good, they may not come as quickly as the things that are evil. And we need to not lose heart. For those of you listening, another graphic I have up here is a sign that says, pain is temporary, quitting lasts forever. Because when we quit, we lose the momentum that we have gained. You may say, I can't go another step. But oftentimes in workouts and training, that's the job of a coach, is to get you to take that step because you can. Because the reality is that it's all up here between your ears that's telling you I can't, when you can. And if you were to quit at that point and say, I'm done, I'm stopping, you will have lost all that momentum that has led you to that point. It takes 20 steps to take a 21st step. But if you quit at 20, you lose the momentum of that 20. Don't lose your momentum. If you've been faithful and serving, if you've been training, if you've been studying, if you've been laboring, if you've been serving, don't stop. Don't quit. Don't lose your momentum. Because you'll just have to pick it all back up again. But if you can keep that momentum going, that one step is less than the 20 before it. God doesn't tell us to quit doing what he says. Quitting is for sin. God may accept you just the way you are when you come into the church, but he sure as anything doesn't expect you to remain that way. As I've said before, you cannot be in the presence of the Lord and not be changed. You can come as you are, but you're going to leave as somebody else. That's the goal of the church. That's the goal of the gospel. The goal of the gospel is not to accept you as you are, and that's the end of the sentence. The goal is to accept you as you are and give you something better. That's why the scripture says, I will exchange beauty for ashes. Not, I will accept your ashes. Have a nice day. I will accept despair. Great seeing you. No! He has given me a garment of joy instead of ashes. He exchanges. What do we see in the scripture as examples of this? Cease striving. In other words, quit striving and know that he is God. Quit striving with what you think and look at what he is. Because man always conjectures. Man, if you don't believe me, go into the scientific community. Not that there's anything wrong with science. There's a lot of good in science. There's a lot of useless wrangling. You could say the same thing in a lot of the church. There's a lot of useless mental gymnastics that profits nothing. Stop it! And know that he is God. That's in Psalms 46, verse 10 in the New American Standard. Become sober-minded as you ought and stop sinning. That's 1 Corinthians 15:34. Stop sinning. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Philippians 2:14. See, God does tell you to stop some things, but it's generally sin. But when God says, I want you to do this, he doesn't say, do it for about 5 minutes and quit. Keep doing it. We know the passage of scripture that says, knock until, not knock twice, not knock until you feel you've knocked enough, knock until you get an answer. Seek until you find, ask until it's opened, because it's about the gospel, it's about advancing. Unless you're sinning, don't quit. What you need is God's strength, God's hope, and God's love to have patience. The key scripture for this is in Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Not might, shall renew their strength. To wait on the Lord is a renewal of strength. You play video games. How many times do you have to pop a cooldown or have a point where you have to stop being doing certain things and wait? And wait for that little recharge bar to come up until you're ready to go again. We get this in the natural. We're exposed to it frequently. There is a time of recharging. And that time of recharging applies to us spiritually, but how we get it is to wait on the Lord. And that waiting on the Lord means to continue doing what He's called us to do. Just like when you need to recharge in a video game, you don't quit the game. You don't stop playing. You don't put your controller down and walk away. You have to stay in the game. That's patience. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, because you wait on the Lord, which deserves the Jewish perspective and greater scrutiny. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? When we look at this in Hebrew, the Hebrew word for wait is kava. Kava. And that means to wait, to expect, and to hope. To wait with expectation. To look towards something with hope or expectation. Because that's why you wait. You don't wait when you don't have hope. You don't wait when you don't have an expectation. That's not waiting. Because the very essence of the word wait is for something. I'm waiting for a bus to pick me up. I'm waiting for a taxi. I'm waiting for my friends to show up. I'm waiting for this. I'm waiting for payday. I'm waiting for that. You're waiting with a dependent, direct object. There's something that you're waiting for, or it's not waiting. When we wait on the Lord, it's to Him. Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, what are you saying? Lord, where do I need to change? Lord, what's the next step? And when we do that, we are renewed because God answers us. When we look a little bit deeper at the Hebrew, and again, any kind of interpretation symbolically never foils the literal. So we can look at this in different ways, but it doesn't change the fact that this means to wait for something, to expect something, to have hope for something. In the Hebrew, the three letters that form this means a cycle or circuit or a course that is held or pinned open to behold. And that's a beautiful description of what I just said waiting is. In other words, it's being held to see an outcome or the completion of a cycle, a circuit, a process, something, a season. That's a perfect definition of what wait means. And that's what it means to wait on the Lord. What does that mean? It means that we need to be looking with expectation to the Lord on what outcomes He's going to bring from what He said in our lives. Because when you have expectation, you will wait. You will get strength. You will get patience. You will get hope for the expected outcome that you are looking for, again, in God. Why do you go to work and leave empty-handed every day? Why do you do that? You put in 8, 9, 12 hours, and you leave. You leave, and you don't have anything. You have nothing. You're not any richer. You don't have any goods. You went for that amount of time. You did labor that added value someplace, hopefully, but you left with nothing. Why? Why would you do that? And then do it again. Because you're waiting for payday. You're just waiting? No, you have an expectation that whatever your payday is, you're going to get paid. You have a hope that the agreed upon arrangement, contract, or compensation is going to be delivered at that time. We have a whole bunch of people in this country right now who are dealing with having to have extreme patience because of a government shutdown. some of which are going to work every day, and they don't have hope. Their hope is eroding, and they are becoming impatient. You see, there is an example in the natural of people when that hope, when that expectation is taken away, patience is very, very hard to come by and fails. When we lose patience, it's because we lose hope. When we lose patience, it's because we've lost our expectation of that outcome. Listen, when you watch sporting events, whether it's baseball or soccer or football, there are times when the game is going bad. And there is a point in the game when people begin to leave. Why? Because their expectation, their hope for an outcome has been crushed. Whether that's due to statistics or likelihood or strategy or the amount of time that's left in the game, they're not going to wait anymore because their hope has been crushed. Don't let your hope be crushed. If you're hoping in the things that are God, if God is behind what you're hoping for, don't give up. Deuteronomy 24:15 says, "Each day you will give a man his wages and not let the sun go down on it, for he is poor and he has set his heart on it." This is at a time where we didn't have paychecks and banks and direct deposit and all these things. This was at a time where you put in the work and at the end of the day, you got paid. You left. You were a day worker. And some might say, "Well, I'll pay you tomorrow. Come back tomorrow." Well, that's not good enough. That man has put his hope on the end of the day. That man has set his expectation. And the Lord's warning is, don't you dare hold back on that, because he'll cry out to me and you're going to have to answer for it. I'll hear that prayer. That's how seriously God takes our hope and our expectation and our patience. Those of you looking, those of you listening, here's a picture of an ant dragging about 3 mini Ritz crackers on his back. That's not photoshopped. Ants are very, very strong and they can lift many, many, many times their own body weight. Why do I have that picture there? Because I want to be artsy? No. It's to prove a point, is that we look at an ant and we think, what can one ant do? Well, you know, God gives us examples through nature, and an ant, even though he may be lowly, even though he may be frail, can do a lot greater than what we expect, because he's committed and dedicated, because it's how the Lord made him. What's your expectation? Is your hope giving you strength? Is it building patience? Does it bring you hope? It needs to. And if not, we need to reevaluate where we're putting our hope, where we're putting our expectation, because that's going to explain why we do or don't have the patience that we need to survive, to accomplish the things of God, and to find fulfillment. Two things. Our patience must be fueled by God's provision so that we're not disappointed. Psalms 62:5 says, "My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him." You can't wait if you don't have an expectation. You can't wait if you don't have hope. And the only place that I know that has a certainty in that hope and expectation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Him and him alone can you trust. And that's why, if you're lacking patience, you better check your fuel. You can't use the wrong fuel and expect to get anywhere. Some of you may have known somebody once upon a time pulled up and put diesel in a car that runs on gasoline. Now, those are both fuels, but that doesn't work. If you know anything about cars, you know putting diesel in a gasoline-powered car is a bad day. It's the wrong kind of fuel. Just like you can have hope and expectation in the wrong thing, and you're not going to get anywhere. You might want to go into that Wawa or whatever and order yourself a sub or a hoagie or something, because you're going to be waiting while they pump that diesel out of your tank and clean out the fuel lines because your car will not run, or it will run extremely bad. Secondly, our hope from him should promise gladness at its fulfillment. Is the outcome that you're looking toward bringing you gladness? If it's not, you need to change where you're aiming. Sometimes we have hope for things and it's like, but is it making you happy? Do you have joy in it? No. I'm waiting on stuff, but I'm not really looking forward to it. Well, then you need to aim better, brother or sister. Come on. What are we looking for? Proverbs 10:28 says, the hope of the righteous will be gladness. If our expectations and hope are set on worldly things, carnal things, fleshly things, they are not going to bring you gladness. And any passing happiness that may come will be trivial and short-lived, I can assure you. But the expectation of the wicked will perish. See, God offers you joy. God offers you gladness that will not perish like the dew of the morning. God gives you a gladness that lasts all day long. So this morning, I pray that you have learned a little bit more about patience and gotten a deeper perspective of the elephant, if you will, beyond just the trunk. That there's a whole lot more to patience, and you can have it with some of the principles that we talked about today. I pray that this blesses and equips you and that you have peace, as always. I pray that you check us out online at my-redeemed.com. We meet on Saturdays now, Saturday mornings from 10:30 to noon. Hope to see you here in the flesh, but if not, hope this blesses you. Take care and God bless.